Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 72, and I am Libya, your host. And this week, we are doing a podcast from San Diego Comic-Con. I've compiled some on-the-fly interviews from people who have been guests on the show and some people that I've ran into Comic-Con. And I basically talked to them about some pilots that everybody got to check out at Comic-Con and got their opinions. So sit back and listen. We're trying to avoid spoilers, and hopefully we succeeded. But you have been warned.
Here we go with Comic-Con 2011. All right, I'm here with...
Hey, Greg Bard, normally from St. Louis, but happy in bright and shiny San Diego.
Hi, I'm Zio, originally from Philly, live in L.A., and this is my second year in Comic-Con.
Woo-hoo. All right, what pilots did you guys see ahead of time?
Oh, on preview night, the first pilot that we saw was the Japanese animation version of the Supernatural series. So they've actually done the first season of Supernatural, which started out as, of course, live action. They've done a Japanese anime adaptation of it.
That sounds bizarre. Okay.
It actually is a little bizarre.
Okay. Was it any good?
Yeah, I mean, it basically tells the story of first season, except they're able to introduce some rather strange characters because it is Japanese anime. And the voices of the characters are actually done by Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, that's surprising. So, thumbs, are you going to watch it? Where is it going to be? Where can we find it?
Oh, well, that's interesting. I didn't pick that up. Did you pick up where it's going to, how it's going to be distributed or anything?
Actually, I didn't check out Supernatural. I arrived there by the time Secret Circle was about to start.
Oh, okay.
So I missed Alcatraz and Supernatural.
Oh.
I feel bad about that. But I love the Secret Circle.
Okay, so talk Secret Circle.
Okay, Secret Circle is basically about this girl named Cassie. She's 16 years old. She lived by herself with her mother. Her father is, when the beginning of the episode, her father's MIA as we speak. We don't. The mother said he's dead, but the story kind of leaves it up in the air.
Don't give too many details.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just synopsis.
Okay, synopsis. Rewind.
Spoiler alert.
Okay.
Just tell me like it's about witches.
Okay, it's about witches. Basically about the circle. About a town who has a circle passing on from generation to generation, and that's what the story starts
with. A circle of witches.
A circle of witches.
Okay.
Yes. What happens though, and I'm not spoiling it, this actually is told, Cassie has no idea what's going on.
Synopsis, young girl is dealing with a tragedy of the loss of her mother, and moves back to her mother's childhood home to live with her grandmother.
Okay.
And as she's there, she will begin to discover that she has special abilities, and especially with... there's a history in her family that has special abilities, and there's other people in the town and a lineage within the town who all share this ability. And so there's an entire group of children or group of kids who all have the ability to do
call the circle,
and they can do spells.
Yes, and so their goal is really to get Cassie. To join their circle so that their powers can be increased.
So, based on that, what do you guys think? Are you going to be watching it next season?
I'm definitely going to be watching it. I thought it was going to be like The Craft, because in The Craft, I don't know if you've seen The Craft in the movie, but Sarah is, when Nancy asked her to be part of the group, Sarah immediately joined, whereas for Cassie, understanding that she doesn't know the history about her mother, she's very hesitant. She's very skeptical about the whole supernatural thing. So it's kind of hard for her to really accept that.
So, but you're excited about it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it's very original in the story.
Yeah, and it really is geared toward the teenager viewership, but I think the writing is intelligent enough for adults as well.
Yes.
Cool. Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. So Alcatraz follows Supernatural in a preview night, and Alcatraz is it's by J.J. Abrams.
Right.
A new show by J.J. Abrams, and it's a big what if scenario of what if a bunch of people disappeared from Alcatraz in the past and reappeared in the present.
Okay.
And so they've.
Thank you very
and
much.
So what we see is we have an entire established governmental organization designed to hunt down these people who have disappeared from the past and are now appearing into the future.
So the government agency, is it in the future or is it in the past?
It's in the present.
Present versus future. Okay,
yes.
So that their future is our present. Okay.
Yes.
Have to be clear with time travel.
Yes. So it seems very interesting. The plot seems very interesting. Obviously, it seems like they'll have many, many stories to tell along those lines. I guess some of the troubling things for me were that it seems very, very much like French. And so, so even the main character is a heroine, a blonde-haired female detective, just like in French, who is the main character and who gets pulled in. So,
isn't this also on Fox?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought it was, but continue.
I don't know who's going to.
I'll look it up.
And so, of course, you know, she gets drawn into all of this because her family has ties to the Alcatraz prison. And so she feels compelled to kind of investigate what's going on because she has some stake and kind of discovering some things about her family lineage.
So, but thumbs up, thumbs down, medium, in the middle?
I think it's something that I'll want to check out, just because I think they did the pilot. They did the pilot very well. You have a lot of questions by the end of the pilot that you want answered, so it kind of draws you into the show. The other thing that I'm kind of concerned about is they have this rather intense main character, female main character, and so I think to balance her out, they bring in Jorge Garcia.
Who's playing a funny man?
Yes, and whose character? Yes, his character is an expert on the Alcatraz prison, but it also seems like he's going to very much play the same role that he did in Lost, which is to give us pop culture references and jokes throughout the dialogue to kind of balance out the seriousness of the drama. So I hope it doesn't get overplayed like that, but I'm still going to check it out and see how it goes.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll be checking in with you guys later. All right, this is
second. Woohoo!
All right, this is the second on-the-fly interview we have going on here. We're hanging out in the restaurant. We're going to talk about Terra Nova pilot and Alcatraz. So, who's with me this time?
Peter from Glendale, the Valley, Los Angeles.
Brilliant. All right, I'm going to put the mic down. Okay, go ahead.
So I saw the Terra Nova pilot, and I liked it. I had some reservations. It's directed by John Cazar, who's done most of the 24 episodes, I think, right?
Yeah.
And Stephen Lang is in it, and you know he's fantastic in Avatar, and he's great here. I felt like the setup, which is basically another fractured family, but this time it's a family in the future, obviously environment is terrible, things are going bad, looks like Blade Runner and Total Recall and everything, and there's these ads in the sky that says a family is four. And so you see an icon of a mom and a dad and presumably a little boy and a girl. And so the opening is that you see mom, dad, teenage boy, and a little girl, and the police come to their house. And the guy who answers the door is like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm a police officer. And they're like, we need to check this place. So they're looking around. They open a vent, and there's a little baby there. Well, maybe like 2 years old or something, which means that they're a family of five, which in the future, probably because of resources, kind of like China or something, is a no-no. So the dad gets mad, gets in a fight, beats up the cops, ends up in jail. and eventually ends up with his family, and I don't want to spoil too much, escaping to Terra Nova, which is where theoretically there's a better life. And you, Libya, has seen some of this, so now that was just the setup, which Libya missed. I like the setup. Setup, thumbs up. But now we'll go into when they arrived to Terra Nova, and there's the dinosaurs.
Well, I literally only saw like the last 10 minutes. So you're going to have to say, I don't want to get into detail. I just want your overall feel of, is it the pilot that you wanted to see? Is it what you thought it was going to be? Are you going to be watching?
Is it the pilot I wanted to see? Definitely. Of all the pilots, yes. Is it exactly what I wanted? To some degree. I mean, it has the pacing of a 24 episode, and it's got the look and feel of like a Steven Spielberg type show, you know, she executive produced. And one of the executive producers, also Renee something, was a huge writer of Star Trek for a long time. So there's a lot there that I really like. But, you know, it is a show, and this is another fractured family. And so, of course, there was a teenage son, and now, of course, the teenage son, because his dad was in jail, doesn't like his dad. You know, his dad obviously seems like one of the hero characters. And, of course, he's angsty, and he doesn't like his dad, and he meets this new hot girl that wants to show him that you can leave the Terra Nova area where the dinosaurs are and there's more danger. And it's like, of course I want to see dinosaurs, but because I don't like this kid, I'm kind of hoping the dinosaur gets a meal from that kid. But of course he doesn't, you know. And actually the dinosaurs get a meal. That's all I'm going to say. I would say Stephen Lang rocks it. There's a moment that I won't spoil where he really, would you agree, is awesome. So I would say it's not a bad beginning, and of course I'm on board. And I think, as I recall, we only saw 1 hour of the 2 hour pilot.
Right.
At the end it said to be continued. I think they told us that it's really gonna be like 24, it's a 2 hour premiere. For all we know, it could be a 4 day, you know, 2 day, 4 hour premiere, I don't know. So I would say yes, I'm interested, but things like the teenage angsty son, things like that, I'm kinda like, you know, I don't know. So overall I'm liking it enough. I have some issues, but liking it.
Alright, I only saw like the last 10 minutes, so the only thing I can say is, yes, the teenage kid is very, very annoying. I think the pilot, from what I saw, was pretty good. The Stephen Lang guy was fantastic. The main father guy, he's from Life on Mars, the American version, and he was pretty cool. So, yeah, thumbs up. I'm going to totally check it out. All right, the next show we want to talk about is Alcatraz. Me and Peter both saw the pilot. And it's by J.J. Abrams. Well, when I say it's by J.J. Abrams, it's his production company. He did not direct it, nor did he write it, which gives me slight pause, in a good way and a bad way, because J.J. Abrams, when he gets into a show and he's writing and directing it, it's great, and then he leaves, and then it sucks. So now he's not actually really involved in it, other than he's seen it, he thinks it's good, and he's willing to put his money and his name behind it. So I guess that's okay, because the main creator of the show are going to be there for the whole ride.
And one of the main creators is Elizabeth Sarnoff, who was one of the people from Lost and from Deadwood, executive producers. So she's great. I like Elizabeth Sarnoff. She even got a clap from the people at the Comic-Con. So she's fantastic.
All right, cool. That sounds... Okay, I did not know that, so that's good. I think that between this one and Terra Nova, I think I'm probably more excited about Terra Nova. Alcatraz is an interesting concept, but it feels like it's trying too hard. It feels like it's trying to be the next Lost, but it's not. You know, the premise.
I think it's like,
well, the whole premise is that the story is that in 1963, all the prisoners from Alcatraz were transferred off the island to other prisons because that prison was too old and dilapidated, and they needed to move them all. And they're like, okay, alternate reality. What really happened was, in 1963, all the prisoners just disappeared. So it starts off with these guards showing up for a transfer, and they walk into the prison, and the prison is completely empty, and they don't know what happened. And so we follow this woman as she investigates this murder current day, and we found out that one of the prisoners just kind of showed up. They're doing a tour of Alcatraz, and one of the prisoners just shows up there, and he's confused, whatever. And it's kind of like, all right, these prisoners are coming back slowly to our time, and now there's this elite group of people who are going to track them down. That itself would have been kind of interesting, but then they felt like they needed to go one extra step, which is when the prisoners come back, they're they get these phone calls, they're under mind control for until they complete a mission, and then they're released and they're back to themselves. And I'm kind of like, I don't know if I needed the mind control. I think that was just contrived and one step too far. So, all right, Peter, what you think?
I agree about the mind control being kind of tired. The other problem I had was that, you know, they do a really easy job of showing 1963, prison guards notice these empty cells. In the future, we see, our present day, we see that one of the prisoners just shows up in a prison cell. Now, of course, Alcatraz is a tourist attraction. They do that really simply. We get it. What's frustrating for me is throughout the pilot, and I don't know for sure, but it feels like they basically explain that premise two or three times after that. And it's weird because one of the things I like about an Abrams production is that they usually do things where you, as an audience member, you feel like you have to pay attention, you have to catch up. And on Alcatraz, it feels like you could have missed the first 20 minutes because they're going to explain it again in the third segment. Like, and I feel like that kind of stuff. Plus, some conspiracies are, some allusions to conspiracies are revealed, which leads to a character going, "You knew this all along?" And I'm just like, really? That move? So, yeah. Of course, you know, shows can always get better. Pilots are never perfect. I would say I'm more interested in Terra Nova. However, even though I'm bagging on Alcatraz, Jorge Garcia is good.
Yes, absolutely.
Great to see Jorge Garcia. And who's the main guy? He's fine. I didn't mind him.
Oh, you mean Sam Neill. And he...
I meant the sleeper cell guy.
That guy. I've seen him in something.
Sam Neill's great.
Yeah, Sam Neill.
And the crowd went crazy for Sam Neill. And Jorge, obviously.
Right. And Sam Neill is great, but the basically the villain of the week, which was the prisoner, because I don't think we're really going to necessarily see him again.
No, I think we are because he was on the panel. Don't you think that means he's a regular guy?
He wasn't on the panel. The guy
I thought he was. All right.
No. The guy that was on the panel was the guy, the prison, the guard, the warden. Remember the warden when he was young and he was beating the guys up? That was the guy that was on the panel.
Oh, okay. I forgot that. Okay.
Anyway, but I think Sam Neill is fantastic, and I like the fact that you really don't trust him. You know, he's supposed to, you know, he's the boss of this top secret organization, and I totally don't trust him.
In fact, there's a great moment that works, especially because they use Jorge Garcia, where characters are basically gassed and put to sleep, and they wake up, and Sam Neill's there. And it's a great scene, because I think even the character goes, "Seriously? Like, that's what you did to me?" And there's a part later where I hope they did it again, and they didn't, but I was like, "Oh, gas him again!" But they didn't.
No. There's one really good thing with the Sam Neill being, like, evil or not evil, is the little bit where he tells this guy, like, "Oh, it's good that you're going to work for us so we don't have to kill you." And everybody, he just kind of laughs, and he just looks at him and is like, "No, I think he was serious."
Yes, and Sam Neill's great. I love Sam. Ironic, Sam Neill on this show, and he's great. Weird because Terra Nova, obviously with dinosaurs, has a Jurassic Park connection.
Right.
And it's like, should Sam Neill be checking out the dinosaurs on that? Like, but he doesn't, you know. So, but those are the two pilots we saw, unless you saw something else.
Yep.
You know, so I'm tired because it's Comic-Con. But you know, still, it's fun to watch these pilots and everything. Get excited about fall.
All right, stay tuned for the next segment. This is the next part of this podcast, and we're going to be talking about the pilot for The River. And I have with me this time
Valerie from withanaccent.com
and Kim from withanaccent.com.
So what did you guys think?
It was pretty good. They decided they wanted to do something that was suspenseful and but not gory, which I think they did a really good job of. Because, you know.
Well, what's the show? Like, give me a general idea what the show's about.
The show is about this family who the patriarch of the family has his own television show, a nature show, and he goes down to the Amazon. And he's been doing it, you know, for 20 odd years. And something happens and he goes without the family and disappears. And 6 months later, all hope has been given up. But his beacon turns on. So the production company that does his show decide if the family will let them film, they'll pay for an all expenses to go down there and try and find him. And they get down there, and of course they find the beacon, and he's not there. They finally find his ship, and all hell breaks loose. Basically, something. It's very supernatural. It's kind of hard to get into very much, okay. But there's definitely a supernatural element going on. His tagline is "There's magic.
There's magic out here.
There's magic out here." And apparently, he actually kind of meant it.
Oh, okay.
So. Beyond that, scary stuff starts happening.
Is there
happening.
Anybody we know is in it?
Leslie Hope, who was on the first season of 24, and recently on The Mentalist as a guest star. Joe Anderson, who was in Sons of Anarchy and Across the Universe. And
Bruce Greenwood
is the father that has gone missing. So everything that's shown of him is in, you know, video footage that they've found or flashbacks to the past.
Okay, so what do you think? Are you gonna check it out?
Definitely. It was definitely interesting. I think it's got some really good potential to it. But and it's very, very scary for something on network television.
What'd you think?
I really liked it, overall. You know, it's got its typical problems with being a pilot. You know, they've got to tell a story and try not to do it in a way where the exposition is very blatant. And they get away with it sometimes, sometimes not. It's Oren Peli, who is the director of Paranormal Activity. And so if you've seen and liked those movies and you like his style, then you'll like the show because it's very reminiscent. It's the same type of editing with the cameras, you know, the same type of, they use stationary cameras and then they just switch between them. It has a very like security footage feel. And then on top of it, they also, of course, since the premise is that they are filming a show, some of the footage is actually footage from the cameramen that they take with them who are, you know, in turn characters in the show as well. And so it's very interesting. The acting was pretty good. And I definitely will check it out again. I like to give pilots a little leeway, and, you know, so I'll definitely be tuning in.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. All right, we're here with another on-the-fly interview from San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to talk about the pilot for the show Grimm, and I have with me this time...
Hi, it's Marcia from Los Angeles.
All right, so what did you think of the pilot?
I was thrilled. It is so rare to find a pilot that is smart, is well done. Everything about it flowed well. The special effects were good. The story was good. I'm so looking forward to this.
Can you back up and give me like an idea what the show is about?
Well, it's actually a police procedural. However, it's in the horror genre. Actually, what happens is that there's a detective, Nick Burkhart, and he works homicide. And he has a partner named Russell Hornsby, and they're just regular police. But he hits a certain age, and his aunt, who had actually raised him when his parents died when he was 12, he finds out that he starts having visions. He starts seeing people, and he sees their faces are off, and then they look like monsters, but then they look normal again. And when his aunt comes to visit him, he finds out that he's at that age where he's now finding out that he is the last of the line of the Grimm family. The brothers Grimm actually were not writing stories horror stories. They were actually writing about existing criminals, but that were in the supernatural world, supernatural creatures. And so now he's going to be a hunter. And it's almost Slayer-ish.
I would say that sounds supernatural-ish.
Very supernatural-ish, except when sitting down with David Greenwald and Jim Kopp, who are the executive producers and writers, the first thing they say is this is a procedural. It happens to be in the supernatural world, but it is a procedural, like NCIS. Or Law and Order, any of those, it's just And it's the real world. It's not an alternate universe. In fact, this is based in Portland. They filmed in Portland. All the actors and the writers and everybody are in the process of moving up to Portland. It was kind of funny because Sasha Royce, who was in Caprica, just moved back from Vancouver, and now he's got his car. Actually, a few days ago, he was talking about how he and Reggie Lee have their cars on trucks being shipped to Portland. I mean, literally, everything is being done in Portland because Portland looks like Europe. You've got everything that would have been in the Brothers Grimm story in Portland, and that's where they're doing the whole story.
I think they lied to you because I've been to Portland, and it doesn't look like Europe. I mean, it's got some old town stuff in it. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. It's got some stuff like that.
The idea is that it's got rivers, it's got forests.
Yeah,
It's a little of everything, and that's the idea of it.
Okay. So you're saying thumbs up, you're going to check it out when it comes. What channel did you say it was on? Fox? Or?
No. That's the amazing thing. It's on NBC.
Ooh. NBC is quick on the trigger of cancellation.
It's true, except David Greenwald and Jim Koch have been talking about how NBC is actually spending money on advertisement, which is a big deal. It's going to be on Friday night.
Oh.
For 21st. I know, at 9 o'clock. I know. The only good thing is, that even though it's opposite Supernatural, is that CW doesn't look at Nielsen ratings for Supernatural. Every time I get a press release from them on a weekly basis, they're always talking online and DVR. So I guess the hope is that NBC, the people will watch it live-ish, and then DVR the Supernatural. But I'll also tell you this. The executive producers are Sean Hayes and Todd Milner. They're doing Hot in Cleveland right now, and NBC wants to make them happy. And so there's a better chance of this surviving because NBC wants to make these guys happy.
All right. Well, because I was like, you just said a couple of things that are the death knell of a show, which is airs on Friday and airs on NBC. So, all right.
Absolutely. However, what was said to us during the interview, the press interview, was they're looking at Friday as being the night for this kind of stuff.
Okay.
It's a sci-fi Friday. So they seem to look at it as a positive, not as a place to throw something in a corner, but they actually see it building on Friday.
Okay. I'll give it a shot.
I think it's wonderful, and for a change, it actually has the flow of a Buffy episode.
All right. That's big words from you. All right. Thanks. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay, that's the end of the pilot on the fly rundown for you from Comic-Con. But I do have a bunch of interviews that I've done that I'm trying to compile. The video is being difficult with me. But I'm going to do an audio interview. I'm going to put together the audio interviews for Spartacus, Torchwood, Eureka, and Alphas. I'm going to put those out separately. There will be some exclusive to TV Campfire audio interviews that will not be included in the video, but if you want to see the video, make sure you check them out on wheatonopolis.com once I have them posted. And next week we will return to our regularly scheduled TV Campfire podcast. Sorry for the delay, and if you have feedback, send to tvcampfire@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter, and check us out on Facebook. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.